The system that the gospel sets before us involves the suppression of any form of scapegoat, whether from God or from the law, and the recognition that a world with fewer and fewer fixed and institutionalized barriers will afford more and more opportunities for people to be fascinating obstacles for each other, for them to be a cause of reciprocal scandal to one another. The historical process is inevitable, but it is human rather than divine. Religious Puritanism, from Origen to our contemporaries, has given an exclusively sexual interpretation to the notion of scandal. This exclusive insistence on the sexual corresponds very closely to the tendency in psychoanalysis to read sexuality into everything. In fact, psychoanalysis is fetishizing the mimetic obstacle by interpreting it in a much too unilaterally sexual fashion. It is only the latest version of the mimetic process. This is from page 406. Scandal always calls for demystification, and demystification, far from putting an end to scandal, propagates and universalizes it. Present-day cultures caught up in this process. There must be scandal to demystify, and the demystification reinforces the scandal it claims to combat. The more passions rise, the more the difference between those on opposite sides tends to be abolished. Schismogenesis. And yet, of course, the more apparent it is that the two sides are basically the same, the more fiercely they have to oppose each other in order to assert their difference. So that's a circular schismogenetic feedback loop. In fact, we have the very process of a mimetic crisis reaching a level of unprecedented paradox. The scandal is really violence, and the violent knowledge attaching to violence, which take on more explicit and bloody forms than ever before, in large-scale persecution and in large parts of the planet, burdened with the most grotesque types of oppression. Yet the scandal is also often present in subtle and concealed forms, even in the language of non-violence and in the concern for those who are suffering. So this is a kind of double bind, because the more, first of all, we say the more the scapegoat mechanism starts to be revealed, the more fiercely those who are possessed by it have to double down in order to not let themselves see it. The contradictory nature of ideology in our current era of political correctness and identity politics and intersectionality and so on, like how there's more and more contradictions proliferating, such as having no tolerance for those who do not practice tolerance, and persecuting those who are seen as persecutory, and so on, that contradictory element actually intensifies the doubling down. It's evidence of it, and it causes it to become more and more compulsive, essentially, because the only way to not see the contradiction and the hypocrisy is to just keep being possessed by the thing that one is not willing to see. Page 407, the speck is certainly there, as in the speck in the eye, but the critic fails to see that his own act of condemnation reproduces the structural features of the act deserving condemnation in a form that is emphasized by the very inability of the perspicacious critique to see its own failings. So scapegoating the patriarchy, scapegoating the system, it is the way in which the system itself is maintaining its power, by scapegoating not itself exactly, but an image of its past self. It's like creating an image out of what it once was, and condemning and persecuting that's basically the circular nature of mimetic violence and scapegoating that Girard is talking about, that's been going on since the foundation of the world. Page 408. It is easy to see why Christ puts his disciples on guard against the scandal on that he himself might be from their human point of view. He is depriving humankind of the last sacrificial crutches, and he bows out whenever they want to substitute him for what he is depriving them of by making him into a chief or a legislator.